Hello, I'm Phil Svitek, and welcome to my vlog, where it is both my mission and my pleasure to highlight my creative journey in hopes of inspiring you, giving you specific takeaway. All that way, your journey can be at least a little bit easier. Now, before I fully dive into things, I would love to take the opportunity to invite you to subscribe. That way, you get all the various lessons and episodes that I put out right when I put them out. Thank you if you just did, and thank you if you already were. It truly does mean a lot to me, as I hope it does to you. So let's get into this. You know, if you've been subscribed, you've noticed that, especially this year, the sort of quantity of episodes hasn't quite been there. And that's because at the top of the year, I made an announcement that I'm going to be focusing on longer term projects more so. And so, you know, these sort of episodes, while I love doing them, take up more time and things like that. And excuse me, not that they detract, but, you know, you always have to look at your time and just prioritize what you can and can't do. And certainly that was the case in the past month, because a lot of my time and effort, on top of already my commitments to, you know, the regular jobs that I have, was literally the crowdfund for my latest film project, which in and of itself, like, for those of you who have done a crowdfund, trying to raise whatever amount of money you're trying to raise is a job in and of itself. It literally is. And so, you know, not only was I doing that and putting, you know, so much effort into that, on top of it, you know, we've continued having weekly meetings about the logistics, the creative, all and everything in between, about not only what we're doing in the short term, which is this proof of concept to help pitch the idea to other financiers and so forth, but also we've been looking at the long term, so the script and so forth as well. So that's like, that in itself is a lot of things. And let me start with the rewrite. You know, since the beginning, I always knew that this project was very ambitious, and there's a lot of stuff that could be spun off of it, right? You know, as they say, like side stories, sequels, and so forth, toys. You know, I intend this to be an NFT project and all kinds of things, right? Stuff that you could do, because it's a very rich idea, like Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, and so forth, right? It's a world that has its sandbox that invites people to play within. And yet, all those things, as glossy as they are, you have to kind of put that aside and know that none of that happens without the story being good. And so, you know, that's why even last year, I didn't have meetings with my team, because I was working on the script. I had meetings with the people that were helping me work the script, but now I have a production designer. I have, you know, the whole team of animators. I have producers, all kinds of people now on board. You know, I have my sound designer slash, you know, composer, and all these different people now being a part of the mix, because now, even though the script is not done, it's enough where we can work and finesse it, and they can do, like, there's certain elements that we know aren't going to change, and so we can move forward on those elements. And yeah, so that's a very exciting place to be. But, you know, knowing that the core of what makes it all tick is the script. And, you know, because of everything else that was going on, it'd been about a month or two since I last really significantly touched the script. Like, if you know me, you know I always, like, take these notes, and, you know, ideas pop up in my mind about, you know, stuff I'd like to try, stuff like I'd like to change. You know, other people give me feedback. I write it down and so forth. And it just felt like, okay, it's at a boiling point where now, just internally, I'm ready to erupt, and I want to get back to the page. And so I was doing about 10 pages of revision a day, and I had done that up until like page 100. And the script that I was working off of to do the revisions and was like 139 pages, which is a little bit misleading because that also contained like tons of notes. Like what I do is in bold, I type in the notes of that I'm trying to address per scene. So the ending especially had a lot of notes. So, you know, if you took that away, that'd probably be like 130 pages. So 9 pages of notes overall, give or take. But anyway, so I'd gotten to like page 100. And, you know, in having done that, I started to see certain patterns. And I was approaching the end. I was like, okay, well, you know, I could finish out the end and so forth, but it's going to suffer because what comes before isn't quite working to my satisfaction. And so what I had done was I decided this past weekend to just dedicate the weekend to do a page one rewrite. Now, I say page one rewrite, that's misleading as well, because what I like to do is I got two monitors, and so on one monitor I have the blank page, and in the other I have the script with, you know, as is with its notes and so forth. And I essentially, you know, glance from one to the other and essentially retype it, right? And by doing this, it allows me to get into the headspace because I literally have to type out those words. I'm not just reading it. I feel more connected with the story when I'm literally having to spell things out all over again, right? And in so doing, you know, I'm not just, it's not just about literally retyping. You know, there's the notes, and as I'm retyping it, things come to me. It allows for that aspect and allows me to elevate what's there. And so I started on Friday and got maybe like 30 pages done, which in the grand scheme of things, if you've already have a script written, that doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, in many ways, and my editor friend, Emily Krempholz, was the one that kind of said this in this way, that most times when you work on a story, it's the middle that needs the most work. The inverse is actually true for me. I mean, it doesn't mean that there's not stuff to fix in the middle, but a lot of it hinges on the beginning and the end, and those are the things that I needed to fix. And so the first 30 pages are the beginning, and so there was a lot of rewrites based off of that, even though I technically revised it. Again, that's why when I'd gotten to page 100, I went back all the way to the beginning because I was dissatisfied and I had this idea of like, let me just try this, not completely new thing, but something that shifts the tone of it, or it gives us a better running start into things. And so I did that, and got us to like essentially the end of Act One, you know. And then on Saturday, I had gotten to about page 84. And then on Sunday, I finished out the rest of it and ended up being 134 pages. So that's kind of how it went. And now I'm in the phase of, okay, so I did that. Now it incorporates all the ideas that have been marinating in my mind for a month or two. Now I can see how they are working. And one of the things I like to do, I essentially do this dance where I need to see the specific of something, you know, to kind of get it in my mind's eye, right? Like, can it work in this way? So I write it out in that way, and then I take a step back and look at it from macro. So now that this version of the script is done, I'm looking at it from a macro lens, and you know, Robert McKee is someone that I really appreciate. He's a teacher of story, and you know, he's a big outliner, and he has his whole process. So if you ever are curious, his very famous book is called Story. So if you check that out, like, it literally teaches you the methodology and of how to write well. It's not the only way, of course, but it's a way that has stuck with me and works with me. Now, I break it in the sense that, you know, he talks about you don't start writing the script until you literally have the outline perfected. For me, as I said, it's more of a dance where I get an outline done, and then I have to test it out through the script. You know, how well is that outline working? And so now, you know, I think there's a lot of good things within the script, but in so writing out with the specificity, it has pinpointed me sort of the plot holes, right? And so because of that, I'm re-outlining the entire script now with these plot holes in mind, so I can address them and elevate, make the script more dynamic, engaging, and so forth, right? So that's the goal of this next phase. And yeah, it's, if I'm being honest, it's a very daunting task, because like, how many rewrites and how big of changes will be needed for this draft? And you know, as you work, for me, it's no different than editing, where if an idea strikes and, you know, yes, it might be create major changes, but it's like, well, just try it out. You have the other version if you want to go back to it, but let's see what this could look like. And that, you know, as far as chasing that tail goes, that's why I think, you know, I don't know if the movie, like, if the movie that I'm trying to set out will be the best movie that ever could be made in that way, right? Like, I'm sure somebody else could take this concept and do, you know, something different with it, elevate it, right? Be better with it, so forth. But as far as, you know, the definitive thing I can say is that by the time I say that, like, hey, the script is done, I will know that it is the best version of the script that's possible, because I'll have essentially have tried every other possible combination to try to make it work, and this is the one that makes the most sense, and this is the one that makes it soar. That I can say with confidence, you know, for me, right? You know, in terms of what I was able to bring to it. And that's daunting, right? In many ways, because yeah, I know, like, this is a genre, right? It's a fantasy sci-fi story on an epic scale that goes for like Princess Mononoke made by Hayao Miyazaki, or certainly like Lord of the Rings, you know, like it's an ambitious project. And those are two pieces of art that are absolutely beloved worldwide. And, you know, this is a genre, I may love it, but this is my first real attempt going into that genre. So of course it's gonna take time and an effort and so forth. I mean, hell, it took J.R.R. Tolkien 14 years, I think. I think that's what it ends up being, to write The Lord of the Rings. You know, because he's having to come up with languages for the elves and the history of Middle Earth and so forth. And that's what I'm having to create. And I, for the most part, I know the backstory of everything. Now it's about, okay, you know, it's like putting them in a race. It's like, all right, the players are all set. Now go. And, you know, how does this turn out? And it's that aspect of it, how does it turn out, that I'm working on, right? So that's been the journey. That's been the process. That's been the hard part, but it's also been the fun part. And I continue to be inspired by the work that we're doing. You know, I've talked about this before, but the idea that this proof of concept, you know, it's a short version of the movie that represents what it's supposed to be, its themes and so forth. And it incorporates all the various characters, you know, in that way. And so it's an animated movie. And so we're having to design character designs. We're having to come up with backgrounds and so forth. And doing that helps me shape the story. You know, as I've said before in other instances, it quite literally lets me see the world. And that's a beautiful thing. And in animation, like, it is interesting. The script isn't as heavily dependent on, you know, they more so go for storyboards. Recently, one of my favorite movies of last year became available on physical disc, right? Meaning Blu-ray. And that movie is Suzume, made by Makoto Shinkai. And it's one of my favorite movies. And it has a great behind-the-scenes making of that is just essentially like animation 101 of how an anime movie is supposed to be. And so he himself like did an outline for the movie. Then he did a rough script. And then he did the storyboards for that script, which ended up being about 2,200 shots. And he's the one that drew him. It took him about 6 months to do. And then you sort of put it together and, you know, he voices the various characters. You watch it and, you know, people watched it and they had notes. So for me, coming more from a live action standpoint, I'm kind of creating a hybrid of it, I guess, in a way, where to me, I want to make the script as important as you do on a regular movie that is live action, but knowing that we're also, you know, that there's going to be allowances for revisions in that whole process. And for me, I'm not an artist, so I can't, like Makoto Shinkai or Hayao Miyazaki, do my own storyboards. So for me, instead, the notion is, okay, you know, as time goes by, like, once the script is ready in a way that we feel, then it's filming it with actors, live action, but not with, like, sets and costumes or lighting, any of that. Like, literally just, you know, people playing make-believe. You know, for all intents and purposes, it could literally be in someone's living room, right? It's in that sort of way. And you film it shot by shot, and then you edit it, and then you see it. So that becomes my version of an animatic, to see the movie and see, okay, is it dragging? Is it, you know, something unclear? All those different things that became evident for Makoto Shinkai and Suzume. You know, they had some... The way the ending was intended, it wasn't coming off in the right way with the emotional weight that they wanted it to have. And so, you know, they were able to watch it and his team had suggestions for him. And that's basically my process. And, you know, in that way, knowing that the story is the most important aspect of all of this, you know, I shared the script not only with the members of the team that have been continually, you know, part of the script revisions for this whole process, but with the rest of the team, right, now that's on board and, you know, working. Because I want them to be able to bring ideas to the table. And also, as they do their work for, you know, whether it's the proof of concept or the larger scope of the movie, the more intimate they are with the script, the better. And even if this script changes drastically, what I appreciate and understand and they intuitively get as well, intuitively, couldn't say that word the first time, so I want to make sure I said it correctly, but, you know, regardless of the changes, they'll understand the reasoning for the changes. Therefore, they'll understand why, you know, a character or something looks the way that it does, because they'll have known the original intention, why it changed, and so forth, and they can bring that level of depth to it, right? It's like, you know, when you look at a finished movie, right? Like, it's the tip of the iceberg sort of a thing where, you know, it's supposed to represent a much larger world, both physically and in terms of the core emotions of the characters and their histories, right? Well, you know, in that way, if they just saw the final script, yeah, it could work out and stuff like that. But, you know, as always, as a director, as, you know, as a writer, you're having these conversations with anyone on the team of, like, you know, they're asking, well, When the character, let's say, they scratch their head, what does that mean? Are they confused? Are they mocking someone, right? Like, these are things. And so they'll be much more closer to my thinking. And so they'll know, right? That's the idea. So it's been fun. And yeah, you know, these we have these weekly meetings, and we've been working on both the logistics and the creative. And man, you know, all of us are doing this part-time, but man, I'm really impressed with the level of commitment that everyone brings to the table. I mean, it's a lot to undertake. Just the logistics of it are already daunting. But then so is the creative, right? We're literally having to create a world from scratch, and everyone's doing both. And that requires, in essence, two parts of your brain, right? Yeah, I'm just really in awe of the team and what we're bringing to the table, and how well just things have been progressing, you know? And as we wrap out this crowdfund, you know, a lot of time and attention went into that to make sure that we got it over the line, and thankfully we did. So now we know the funds that we have, we know what we can play with. Obviously, we're going to try to get some like film grants and continue to supplement out our budget. But at least now we know what to work with and how to schedule it out, right? And I, in fact, spoke with my animation manager. I was like, okay, now that we have this, you know, how do we ramp up? You know, what's our schedule? Like, let's talk turkey, as they say. And, you know, it's exciting, because we were able to very quickly and very easily come up with a game plan that works for, you know, everyone. And that's exciting. So, yeah, it's a good place to be, you know. Because as I said, part of it was by doing the crowdfund, the whole idea was to raise funds to be able to pay the animation team for their work. And though they were working in this time period that we were raising the money, you know, it wasn't as fast a turnaround, you know, not as you want, but rightfully so. I mean, you know, they're doing it, like, they were always going to be paid for that work regardless of what happened. You know, I would have paid them out of pocket regardless, but we always knew that, okay, whatever work you do will count towards this part of the budget. You're just essentially delaying and deferring payment up until that point. Now that we're reaching that point, okay, we can back pay, and then we can sort of, you know, now pay to get things started on a higher level, right? And so that's exciting as well. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, lots going on. And this is, believe it or not, this is like one aspect of my life. There's all kinds of other stuff as well going on. All for the most part good. Some of the stuff that is a little bit tricky to navigate, I'll share at a later point in time and extract the lessons of that, because in many ways it's Hollywood being Hollywood and so forth. And it's both frightening, but all you can sort of do is really laugh at that as like, wow, you know, the actions certain people take. So that's a little tease for you to keep tuning, I guess. Anyway, I've yapped your ear off enough. As always, feel free to ask questions about anything, whether it's this project or just anything in particular. I didn't have to touch upon it today for you to ask. You know, I always want to make sure I deliver to you in the best of ways, make this as beneficial as possible. That's why I put these out there. So thank you as always. Truly appreciate you. I'll see you next time.